Welcome to Reality Check, conversations with experts about applications, solutions, and the things Wi-Fi can do beyond just connectivity. Your host is Matthew Edwards, a Wi-Fi product marketing manager with Arrowhive Networks.
Back to this three-part podcast series focusing on device-based learning and mobility in schools. Today we'll be continuing the conversation with Phil Maddox of FutureSource Consulting, and today we'll be discussing some of the challenges and the pain points that IT departments face with all of these growing new technologies. So, Phil, previously we were discussing some of the opportunities and obviously the great initiatives that are enabled by all of this device-based learning. But as schools increase the use of devices to aid learning, what would you say the main challenges that IT departments are facing today that you typically see?
I think there's a couple of very key concerns that trouble IT teams when it comes to incorporating particularly a large amount of devices in schools, especially with a lot moving towards one-to-one computing or even car-based models. And I think some of the key ones that we've come across involve managing a large number of devices for the first time. Traditionally, schools have been lab-based, static workstations. Devices typically haven't been traveling with the student around the schools. Mm-hmm. So that in itself brings issues, and they really boil down to a couple. So making sure that the Wi-Fi and the broadband infrastructure in the school can support that mobility. And it's not just about supplying connectivity within the classroom. It's about being able to supply connectivity throughout the school, whether it's in lunch halls, whether it's in other communal areas. It's making sure that the network can cope not only with the bandwidth requirements, but also with the density requirements. So I think one of the things that a lot of schools haven't factored into their planning phase when they've come to do one-to-one rollouts is, you know, can their current network support 30 devices in one classroom if they're all using YouTube to watch a video at the same time? Can the network support that? And I think another pain point for managing such a large amount of devices is, or deploying a large amount of devices, is how do you manage those? And that comes down to things such as managing updates, making sure that all the devices are running the same version of the operating system. How do you roll content out to each of the devices? And how do you secure those devices as well? And there are things like bring your own device schemes, which in themselves can bring security challenges to the education sector as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think you always have to feel for IT departments within schools. I think once you've got one challenge nailed down, there's about 20 more around the corner. And obviously, I'm sure you see this all the time. We certainly see it from our point of view, is kids want to break networks. They want to hack. They want to test the boundary wherever possible. So I think sometimes IT teams within schools need to treat their school campus and network as if it was a bank, because kids, they get pretty creative. I'm always impressed by some of the tools that they use to try to, I would say, test, but equally break networks. But yeah, certainly I think when you're looking at BYOD and the increasing number of school-owned devices, personal devices, demanding connectivity in the network, it really does require proper planning to make sure that you can both accommodate all these devices from both a capacity point of view and also make sure that the content they're accessing is appropriate. But yes, as you said, also rolling out that content that the teachers actually want to provide to those students as well, because obviously you want to increase the engagement. But I think one point you touched on there was the interesting one for most school departments, which is the one of security. As I said, kids always want to break networks. So with everything you've talked about there, what would you say are the typical security challenges that you tend to see within schools around these devices?
Yeah, well, a lot of the security challenges will stem pretty much from how the devices are being used within the schools. So I think some of the key ones are things such as filtering, making sure that the students can't go on any websites they shouldn't be, making sure they don't download anything that they shouldn't. And if school devices are going home, then that brings, again, other concerns and other security concerns for the school as well. So then you've got things such as outside users, the devices are being used on an unfiltered network. You have unknown applications that can come onto the network, and that can incorporate all sorts of problems, such as viruses spreading more easily across the network. If you then bring your own device scheme, then there's also additional challenges as well, because the devices, you don't have as much control over them. They will be running all sorts of different operating systems, all updated to different levels. So then it's how you manage that. And it's also managing what devices you allow onto the network as well from a security point of view. If you're allowing BYOD within the school, do you limit it just to specific devices, and how do you incorporate additional devices? Because kids these days don't just have a Chromebook or a tablet, they have a smartphone and other connected devices as well. So how do you set your network up? Do you have a main network and a guest network? And what additional security should be incorporated? And I think that's something that a lot of IT departments do need to take into consideration in their planning.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, from that point of view, obviously, we could probably continue listing challenges out for a good hour yet, even just on security, never mind capacity and planning, etc. But I mean, touching on some of those points, and obviously the points that you've previously raised, what would you say the high level and typically schools need to do to overcome some of these challenges, and in many effect try to future-proof their network as well, and their whole school campus for all these technologies?
I think the first thing is making sure that the Wi-Fi infrastructure is up to scratch and it can support that number of devices, and that can come down to having a good site survey done, making sure that if you are investing within your Wi-Fi network that you are considering the latest technologies such as 802.11ac. Improving broadband speed and access, making sure that not only is the Wi-Fi network quick and offers good coverage around the school, but you've also got the broadband access to complement that as well. And then I also think, lastly, to make sure that you are future-proofed and can handle a large number of devices, it is bringing in things such as mobile device management suites, whether that's one that is provided by your Wi-Fi supplier, or whether that's one supplied by a dedicated MDM provider as well. There are several out there, all have different pros and cons, but I think it's important that schools, as they increase the number of devices that they are deploying to students and teachers, do look towards more enterprise management solutions in order to control and manage those devices.
Yeah, that's true, and that's interesting. It's something we've seen throughout some schools when it comes to planning for their network, certainly from a capacity point of view. Obviously, you touched on the need to implement 802.11ac, for example, moving forward, implementing gigabit Wi-Fi to support all those devices. A lot of the times we've seen schools implement kind of off-the-shelf solutions, like you could get from your local PC store. And yes, that can provide gigabit speed, but I think sometimes you don't realize that it actually takes more than just putting that speed out there. So certainly one thing I would add on that point is effectively ensuring that, as well as having the speed available, that, much like through things you were talking about, like MDM for the devices themselves, is being able to effectively manage that bandwidth. So I think I heard you mention, obviously, conducting site surveys and making sure the planning for capacity is there, but also being able to monitor the traffic that's on the network, prioritize certain traffic or prioritize certain people, like teachers, for example, or certain applications, and then making sure from a security point of view that you blanket ban certain things like, torrents or illegal streaming media, because it's one thing to welcome all of these devices into your network, personal devices or school-issued devices, but there is always that element of these devices being subject to abuse. So I think making sure you've got appropriate security measures in place, making sure you've got the capacity, and then I think, yeah, absolutely, things like mobile device management, where you're ensuring even at the device level, you're controlling what the devices are doing and what the students are able to do in kind of both a flexible and secure manner is absolutely a recipe for success. So it's always interesting, the planning. As I said, I always feel for IT departments because it is a never-ending cycle of trying to manage these devices. But I guess with that, when we're talking about the different waves of technology, obviously from the research side of your organization, is there anything specifically you're seeing or hedging your bets on for 2016 in terms of technology which we can expect to see in the education market?
Yeah, absolutely. I think next year one of the big things is going to be the fierce competition from the different device platforms. In different markets, US, for example, we've seen Chromebooks absolutely dominant within that market. But I think we're going to see a lot of fight back from their competing suppliers, Windows devices, iPads. So I think competition next year in the market is going to be quite fierce. And I think on the back of that, we're also going to see a lot of price pressure, cheaper devices come into the market, which is only going to increase competition and device choice, which will ultimately benefit schools. I think the other thing that we're expecting to see a lot of is increased adoption of cloud computing, whether that's Office 365, Google Docs. We're expecting to see a lot of OEMs begin to focus their devices around the cloud. We're expecting to see more Chromebooks deployed globally, Cloudbooks from different Microsoft OEMs. So we're going to see more of that next year. And I think just lastly, from our point of view, one of the things we're expecting to see as well is more innovation around the use of big data. So I think to date, big data is there, but I don't think anybody has quite figured out exactly how to use it and how it should be used. So we're expecting to perhaps to see next year more innovation around that in terms of how it can be used to change and improve teaching outcomes and learning outcomes within schools.
Yeah, definitely. That's something we tend to see and agree with as well, specifically on the data platform side of things, the idea of big data analytics, using APIs, engagement tools within the classroom to really understand and engage with students. It's very exciting to see where mobile devices and different applications can drive more value there than just beyond basic connectivity. So yeah, definitely, I absolutely agree from that point of view. And then on the point of the competition side, certainly in the US market, I've seen a lot of school districts implementing Chromebooks. And as you said, that then forces the agenda of price, because Chromebooks can be so much cheaper and more cost effective than some of the traditional devices out there. So it'll be interesting to see if we get that same disruption over in the European markets as well. So yeah, a lot of things to think about there. Again, that's been really insightful. I don't know if we've helped educational organizations there to figure out exactly how to overcome some of these challenges, or we've just created them more of a bucket list of fears, but hopefully a bit of both. So that really brings us to the end of today's podcast. So Phil, thank you once again. In the last part of the series, we'll be hearing about some of the success stories. And until then, thank you everybody for listening.